It is the InfoWars. War Room is raw. And we are live on this Thursday, April 30th. Owen Troyer back in studio. Want to have some fun. Start off the show today because I told you we're going to document for you every trendy nurse video that comes out on TikTok of dancing nurses. Now, we may have missed a couple, but I'm trying to hit them all for you. So let's take a look here to start the show because, you know, we're still locked down and we're still not allowed to open up our businesses. And, you know, we're still being told we need the tracking and tracing and vaccines and all that stuff. Meanwhile, the nurses are dancing still on TikTok. So let's take a look at a good remake here of the famous movie featuring Leonardo DiCaprio, Titanic. We thank our nurses for reimagining this scene from the Titanic. So beautiful. Using crutches, pretending to row the boat, which is a stretcher, which could be used for a COVID patient, but instead is being used for a stunt. But I say, I mean, the Titanic won some awards. When we may have to do an award show for all the nurse TikTok videos. Hey, if we're ever allowed to have fun again anymore, maybe we do that. Because we got them all. We could just, you know, the most creative, the funniest, the most heartwarming, the most dramatic, the best cinematography, the best screenplay. I mean, that one may, I mean, you're talking about screenplay, but the music track behind it, I mean, just wonderfully done. I'm not a big fan of Titanic, but that, I could watch that all day. And the award for best screenplay goes to the woman who made that video. Okay, so very well done there with the remake of the Titanic. Now, this is getting a little, you know, people are saying, hey, you know, all these TikTok videos, it's everything's been done before. There's nothing new out there, so just put the trend away. Well, these nurses said, no, we'll never stop creating content in the middle of a global pandemic. And so they said, no, there is more content to be created. And, well, I really don't know how to describe this one. Just roll the tape. I mean, folks, clearly very serious situation here. I mean, you got to give them credit for the originality there. So if you're audio only, it's a group of about four nurses carrying another nurse, which is a COVID patient who's dead, I guess, and then bouncing the patient up and down to the music. Okay. So that's very important stuff. But in almost a documentary style, lacking the nurses, but also, folks, we now know every death out there is being considered COVID because we have to hype up those numbers, to hype up the fear, to bring in the control. So we've lost a lot of people in the world, and most of them are to coronavirus. And so here's just some of the people we've lost in memory. No. All right, so I guess we're just not going to play clip 13. But we've got all the nurse videos ready to go. Tell you that. So we're already ready for that. No. No, it's all right, guys. It was the one where all the people are dying from, like... Now, here it is.
Died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time. It's still listed as a COVID death.
A motorcycle death cause, COVID-19. And so this whole COVID coronavirus really in the modern culture parlance has become a joke. It's become a meme. Nobody's afraid of it, really. I mean, there are people, but it's still shutting us down. It's still causing us to live in fear. Why are we allowing this to happen? Finally, the host has come back to the InfoWars War Room is raw. Owen Troyer, I guess you could say back early from vacation, but not really. It wasn't really a vacation. It's hard to take a vacation in these crazy times. But no, actually, folks, I do have something. I will tell you the truth about why I'm back in studio. I will actually tell you the truth about that here before the end of the first segment, because there is a story there, and I will tell you that story here before the end of the segment. But I have to say, it's really a weird phenomenon we're seeing. I mean, you know, I haven't been quarantining. I haven't been living in fear. I haven't been hiding at grocery stores. I haven't been wearing a mask or gloves. I've been living my normal life, other than the fact that they have, you know, restaurants and gyms and stuff shut down. And for the most part, I think that everyone has kind of been the same way. But we've reached the point in time where we have the data. Not projections, not models, but the actual statistical data. And all the response that we had for the models was wrong. So why are we now pushing that response further for the data that we have that doesn't coincide with the models we use to get to this point? Here is what we Americans need to be asking ourselves. Yeah, there's still a lockdown. Yeah, they're still keeping businesses closed, and they're not going to start up sports leagues, and they're not going to open up gyms or bars yet, and they're not going to reopen the economy, and all that's still going to suffer. But you say, well, what is the first response? Why? Coronavirus? No. No, ladies and gentlemen. The economic shutdown of America is not because of coronavirus. And so now you have to do some serious thinking and analysis to say, why are we keeping this shutdown? Because it's not for coronavirus, folks. That wouldn't make any sense. And if it is for that, and this is our legitimate response, boy, we're a joke. But we are kind of a joke, aren't we? You can't go anywhere. It's not as bad as it was on the news. But, you know, as far as television and in the stores and in the airports and everything, it's still coronavirus around the clock. Wash your hands, social distancing. And then everybody kind of buys into it, and it becomes a marketing strategy for companies. We're keeping you safe. Thanks to our frontline workers. Thanks to the doctors and nurses. You're heroes. So even though the whole thing has turned out to be a hoax, you say, well, you can't say it's a hoax. It's real. Well, yeah, there's people getting sick and dying, just like there are from the flu and just like there are from a lot of other things. The hoax is that we just shut down the economy. We're still shutting down the economy. We've given up all of our freedoms. We've killed logic and embraced fear. That's the hoax. And now, because of the hoax, we have to roll out the forced vaccinations, the microchips, the health documents to get into a bar or a gym or a ball game. Ah, and there's the why. There's the why. And from a raw, I mean, if you're at the IRS or the FBI right now, by the way, you're starting to see people finally come out against Christopher Wray. If you're at the FBI or if you're at the IRS, how are you not investigating Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and then the doctors at the Wuhan lab that are set to make billions off the testing, the doctors that are set to make money off the vaccine and this reservoir. Oh, yeah, that's tied into it, too. Oh, now you find, oh, what is it, reservoir or something? Oh, yeah, it comes out that that's connected to the Wuhan lab, too, and Fauci, too, and the same people set to profit billions. Yeah, they're saying they're about to profit off remdesivir as well. And I mean, it's just right in front of your face. This isn't like David Brock money laundering where he has, you know, a bunch of different. Oh, and then, by the way, then they come out and they say, well, David Brock's nonprofits might not actually be nonprofits. Oh, no kidding. I'm in St. Louis and I literally have the St. Louis Post disgrace. St. Louis Post disgrace. We call it the St. Louis Post disgrace. Literally is quoting Media Matters and David Brock in hit pieces against me when I'm in town. Like they knew I was going to be in town somehow. But no, they say David Brock, nonprofits are actually making profits. David Brock has like six offices in one building that funnels money back and forth. He takes a 10% cut off every damn one. But see, I'm getting off track. What's my point here? There's a level of deception there from David Brock. With Bill Gates and these doctors, there is no deception. Hey, we created the virus. Hey, we're creating the test kits for the virus. And hey, we're creating the vaccine for the virus too. And we're going to force you to buy into all of it. And we're going to make billions off of it. But it was all to protect you. And then all of society buys in and you see the dramatic commercials. It's like, I feel like I could sell somebody with the right music and the right lingo. I could actually sell somebody on chopping off their own arm. It's like, do-do-do-do. Some people in the world don't have two arms. Do-do-do-do. You should sacrifice an arm today. And then it's just like a montage of all these one-armed people like waving all happy. And then you're like, wow, they made such a sacrifice. It's like the same thing. It's like, do-do-do. It's been so hard on us during the coronavirus. Oh, times are so tough. We here at Big Pharma, we here at Big Agra, we here at Big Hollywood, we here at Big Media know how hard these times can be for you. But it's nice to know we came together to fight this virus. It's like, and it's all fake. The virus came out of a lab. We were lied to about it. We were sold panic on it. And then the people that were responsible for it are set to make billions. Hey, but who cares? There was a catchy commercial on television. It's like, hey, you know, if you chop off your arm, you're going to lose a lot of blood. Did you not see that cool, trendy television commercial? I'm a hero. And so you just buy in. It doesn't matter that there's no logic. It's kind of like all these cancer funds. Like, oh my gosh, we're raising money for cancer research. And then it turns out that most of the money just goes right into the pockets of the organizers. And then they already have cures for cancer. So it's just frustrating to watch society and culture go down this path of no return, this point of no return. But it is a divergent phenomenon where half the population is becoming more awake, more informed than ever. The other half is becoming more brainwashed, more controlled than ever. And so there's a split. There's a rift. And it's only going to get bigger. But who's going to fall into that rift and get sucked up, never to be seen again? Maybe all of us. Because as soon as you kill logic and embrace fear as king, which is where we're going overall, we're all seeing it, there's no coming back. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about there being no coming back from this. Even people that know that the whole thing overall could be considered a hoax or they've been lied to or tricked, even they're buying into it. And so that's like the ultimate defeat to me. All right. I didn't tell you that my big tease. When I come back, though, I'm going to tell you why I actually came back early to be in studio today. Big, big exclusive on the other side, folks. The crew hasn't even realized yet, but they will.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
You know, so much of what we do here at InfoWars is just from the hip because this is how just a normal human approaches their day. Hey, you think you got a plan and then life throws you a curveball and you got to make an adjustment. But, you know, I'm sitting here because I always have Drudge Report pulled up as part of my news monitoring. When I'm live on air, I watch the news here on a couple screens. I have the Drudge up. And I'm looking at the Drudge, and I remember somebody saying something to me earlier today, but I was traveling, so I don't think it didn't really sink in. And I've got a bunch of news to get to. And the big story is the FBI setting up Mike Flynn and then the documents released revealing that. This is no longer a quote-unquote conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy confirmed. And I'm sitting here looking at Drudge and I'm seeing, well, let me tell you what I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing Mike Flynn on the front page. I'm not seeing Roger Stone on the front page, who they pushed his decision back for 30 days. Or his time to turn himself into jail for 30 days. Oh, no. On Drudge, I'm seeing coronavirus fear. I mean, Flynn should be the top story. I don't even know if it's on there. I'm not even seeing it. How is that possible? So I'm just sitting here like, am I done with Drudge? I mean, still a good place for news, but maybe it's time to switch up the go-to. Anyway, folks, let me tell you the real reason. That actually turns out there's two, but let me tell you the real reason why I came back to be in studio here today. The real reason is I couldn't go another day without a cup of the Wake Up America Patriot Blend coffee from InfoWarsStore.com. The best coffee in the game. So let me just really enjoy this fresh brew in the Bill of Rights coffee mug that I traveled today to be here in studio so I could drink the Wake Up America Patriot Blend coffee at InfoWarsStore.com. Ah, you may be asking yourself, was it worth it? Every time. Every time. The Wake Up America Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee, only at InfoWarsStore.com. Perfect reviews at InfoWarsStore.com. When you see all those 5-star reviews and people talking about the taste and the boldness and the smoothness and the freshness, folks, you know that's the good stuff. And it's exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Get your Wake Up America Patriot Blend coffee at InfoWarsStore.com. And that is how you do a deep tease into a plug. Was the crew taking notes? Were you guys taking notes? Because let me tell you something. I was dying for a cup of Joe. So I told you that that's the reason why I came back. Another reason why I came back is I kind of had to whoop the crew's ass a little bit. And they know it. And then they botched me back up in the first segment. And so they were still a little rattled. But there's the crew. They've got their head on straight today. But the truth is I miss the crew. That's the real truth. And the coffee. Probably the coffee a lot more. But the crew kind of a little. All right. InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I was thinking about opening up the phone lines, but Scott said we've been taking phone lines. I do have a bunch of news I want to get to. I do have Tom Pappert coming up. I do have Aubrey Huff coming up in the third hour with a big announcement. I know National File has a couple big stories today that they are breaking. But let me start to go through some of the news here. But here's the big story, not featured on Drudge. Go figure. I mean, like, I've seen the worst said about Drudge, and I've never believed it until potentially today. And that's not even an attack on Matt Drudge. I'm just not sure if he runs the Drudge Report anymore. But here it is. FBI discussed interviewing Michael Flynn to get him to lie and to get him fired. Handwritten notes show. Bombshell documents reveal FBI effort to set up Michael Flynn. Flynn attorney Sidney Powell. The documents that are yet to be released are even more stunning. We're talking about dirty cops, as President Trump calls them. But these aren't really cops. I mean, if you're talking about a dirty cop, you're talking about a cop that busts the guy for a bag of marijuana or something and then puts it in his pocket and you know, smokes it later that night. Or the cop that busts the drug deal going down, a couple million bucks cash, you know, takes a little off the top. Or hell, the cop that's involved with it, like the cop that was in Epstein's cell that didn't kill him. Because Epstein killed himself, as we're told. But, I mean, what is going to be worse? What are we going to find from the next round of documents? Are they going to basically just be saying, yeah, this is all a setup. We have to get Trump out. Who can we go after next to set up to get Trump out? Who can we force to lie next to get Trump out? Roger Stone, maybe? They went after him next. Are we going to see the FBI go to Peter Stroke's house or Lisa Page's house or Andrew McCabe's house or Comey's house or Brennan's house or Clapper's house? Are we going to see them go to their house, guns drawn, pointed at them, and, you know, Fox News is going to get the tip and, you know, they'll have cameras rolling live for you? Are we going to get that? I doubt it. And look, it really is. Everything is really a weird bowl. It's a weird mix where Trump right now is under more fire from his base than ever before, for good reason. But still, he has more support than ever before. So it's like Trump has more support now than ever before, but that support is also, it's not weaker, it's more focused and intense and saying, hey, you know, we're now having the worst economy in our life under President Trump. We're now having a big hoax shut everything down under President Trump. We're now having the worst censorship of free speech under President Trump. We're now having the worst corruption in the FBI, CIA, all this stuff, and it's all happening under Trump. And it's like, yeah, I get they're all trying to destroy Trump, like it's all aimed at Trump, but it's happening under Trump. And we're just sitting here suffering, wondering how much more we have to take. But if these Flynn documents aren't enough to get at least an arrest, I mean, I don't know if anything is.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
So it's beyond any doubt, if there was any doubt left, how corrupt the FBI under James Comey was. And you really wonder, just monitoring Comey's odd behavior nowadays, if the guy was ever there to begin with. Like, knock, knock, nobody's home, but he's in charge of the FBI. And this is just the beginning of what we already know is going to come out when it comes to the FISA warrants and the illegal spying on President Trump. And then you have the setup and the frame of Roger Stone that is also hanging out there. But see, people are sick of this corruption. Just like they're sick of being locked down because of the flu. They're sick of being told they have to live in fear because somebody else lives in fear, and so now they have to go broke and die. And I think everybody's getting a little on edge right now. But you have to wonder what goes through a psychotic like Gavin Newsom's head. So, the governor of California is pushing the forced quarantine stay-at-home order. I think it's like another 2 months. I think it's like through June now. Meanwhile, though, he has now released at minimum of 7 serial registered sex offenders from prison. And of course, people are getting arrested. He's now shut down the beach. Shut down the beach. I'll be the beach czar. The beach Nazi. The beach fascist. I mean, look at that psycho. Let me tell you something. That guy shows up to babysit your kids. You say, oh, you know what? Our dinner plans were canceled. Sorry, we don't need your services anymore. And then you file a restraining order. I'm Gavin Newsom, and I am the beach Nazi. No fun for you. No sun for you. No sand for you. No waves for you. No boogie boarding. No surfboarding. No roller skating. I'm Governor Newsom, and you won't be having any fun. Yes, I will send my henchmen after you if you dare go on the beach. And while my henchmen are fat and can't keep up with you, it won't stop them. Do you think he's going to be reelected? See, but now that even makes me wonder, and politically, this is suicide for Gavin Newsom. So why is he doing it? There's something else going on, folks. There's a bigger agenda. There's so many agendas. The forced vaccination, the health documents, the microchipping, the tracking and tracing, the AI surveillance grid. How else are you going to sell someone on a total AI surveillance grid? How else are you going to sell that to someone? Well, we're not spying on you. We're simply monitoring disease outbreak. We're simply monitoring viral spread. I mean, even Patrick Bateman wouldn't shut down the beaches. No, Governor Gavin Newsom is a beach Nazi, and I don't think it's going to go well for him in the next election. And I don't think the beaches are going to be empty much longer either. Really, though, Newsom looks like Patrick Bateman after he just chopped up and hacked up what's his name with a axe. Governor Newsom looks like Patrick Bateman after he hacks up Paul Allen with an axe. But that's what he's doing. See, Newsom's hacking up your freedoms. Newsom is hacking up your ability to be free and have fun and go to the beach. Newsom shows up at the beach, craps all over the beach, and then laughs about it saying, ha ha, you can't go to the beach. I don't know why these people just don't go hide in their homes and let us all live free. I've spent way too much time talking about the new American psycho, Gavin Newsom. He just finished hacking up your freedoms on a beach. Undercover cops arrest 2 women for providing cosmetology services in their homes in violation of lockdown orders. Brenda Stephanie Mata and Ana Isabel Castro Garcia. Criminals. Tell you, you want to know something that will make you incensed? These two nice young ladies have now suffered more punishment of law than James Comey. That really makes me mad, folks. That really ticks me off. These two innocent Americans who simply wanted to run their business, probably really financially hurting right now, and providing what a lot of people would consider an essential service, they have now suffered and been punished via the law. But James Comey and John Brennan and all these crooked FBI agents still walk free, pay no fines, face no justice. And the truth is, if you want to get ahead of this, you're like making a speakeasy right now. I mean, hell, go find where Nancy Pelosi lives, set up a speakeasy right next door. I mean, you're set. But everything has to be on the black market now. And so then that's when they come in with the cashless society. Well, you can't even operate on the black market now. You can't even have a black market now, which isn't even a black market. It's a free market. But the free market is a black market in fascism, which is what Elon Musk has now called Governor Patrick Bateman Newsom, psycho, beach Nazi. Elon Musk has now called the beach Nazis' stay-at-home orders fascist. Well, really, it's... And look, you have to understand, these are just... stories and headlines tend to twist words. It happens all the time to me. So I won't even say that Elon Musk said this, because it's like, it's always something deeper. It's always a twist. And we are experiencing fascism right now, where Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart and McDonald's get to stay open and serve food all day, but the local mom and pop are told they have to stay home and close their doors and then really just go out of business is what it is. It's just saying, sorry, you don't get to be in business anymore. You just have to die. That's the fascism. But what Newsom is doing is really not even fascism. It's authoritarianism, dictatorship. It's total tyranny. You can't go to the beach. But don't worry, because Governor Newsom will say, unless you have your vaccine.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the InfoWars War Room is Raw. A lot developing right now, including in the Roger Stone case, where Roger was supposed to turn himself in today. He's now been giving a 30-day reprieve or extension of that. And so that's good news, interesting news. And so Jacob Engels has joined us to give us the latest in this. Jacob is COVID safe right now with his Roger Stone did nothing wrong face mask on. Of course, that is a clear thought crime. And if you were in California, Nazi Newsom would probably have you arrested for that.
Well, we're free now. We can breathe the fresh air. We can enjoy the fact that Roger Stone is not in prison today. We have 30 more days to convince patriots and President Donald Trump to pardon Roger Stone. General Flynn, and everyone else has been caught up in this madness. What are we waiting for?
No, I'm at that same point with multiple things. It's just, what are we waiting for? We know Roger Stone was wronged here. We know it's the FBI that was corrupt. We know General Flynn was set up. We know Roger Stone was set up. We have the documents. We know who these people are. We saw the jury pool. We saw the selection. I mean, I don't get it, Jacob. I really don't. And I don't know what Roger's thoughts on this issue are, and I don't know what yours are either. But I mean, look, at a certain time, as a Trump supporter, I mean, I have to ask myself how much I'm willing to put up with here. And this isn't me going anti-Trump or even saying that. Again, it's like a weird thing. It's like I have more support now for the president than ever, but also I'm like, it's more critical than ever. But I mean, at what point does being critical of the president realize, you know what, if he's not going to have our back in cases like this, then maybe it's time to move on.
Well, Owen, I think you're posing a very serious idea and question for people. We're out here fighting. We're out here doing what we need to do for the cause of liberty and freedom. Yet there are so many people out there who aren't stepping off the couch, who aren't stepping into the streets, who aren't protecting their fellow man, their fellow woman. So how much can I give? I can only give so much of myself, physically, emotionally, mentally. Same thing with you. Same thing with Alex. So what everyone listening needs to realize is that you need to get up, you need to get active, and you need to get out there. It's not just enough to watch the program. It's not just enough to share about what we're talking about here on the program. Get out in the streets of your community and do something, because we are only as strong as we are together.
And see, the problem is it's almost like I don't want to turn it into a thing where I'm preaching to the audience, because they already know most of what we're saying. But for people right now, I mean, the answer is, and this is nothing to do with, it's the same thing, but it's a different thing. The answer in the current times is, well, what can I do? Well, folks, you can just, for one example, go back to work, reopen your businesses, like just totally defy this government. I mean, that's not even a form of protest. That's just an execution of freedom. I mean, that's one thing. But I mean, if you want to raise awareness to what happened to Roger Stone, if you want to combat the lies of the fake news, I mean, that's another thing that you can try to, embark on that journey too. I know Roger's been very busy. I mean, what do you think the tea leaves read right now after this 30-day reprieve?
I think we need to count on Americans all across the country who sit here and say, wow, Roger's gotten a 30-day reprieve. He's gotten the opportunity to not go into a COVID Chinese flu, Wu flu infested prison right now. What are we going to do? The responsibility falls on all of us. So you can sit there and say, oh, I hate it. I hate what's going on. But if you don't stand up and do something, then you can't help people like Roger Stone. And if they get people like Roger Stone, then they're going to get people like you and me, Owen. It is not something that just stops with somebody like Stone or Flynn or any of these other people. So get out there, do something. I have an appointment at the hair salon tomorrow, and I'm going to get my hair colored, and I'm going to make it shock blonde. And if the police want to come in there and drag me out of there with foil on my head before the treatment done, go ahead and do it, because I'm going to film it. I'm sick of being stuck in my freaking apartment, man.
I can just see the image of Jacob getting pulled out of the hair salon with the tin foil on his head. Oh, it's going to be glorious. I don't think they will, but Florida seems to be one of the lenient states right now as far as things being opened back up and anybody harassing from law enforcement. I think beaches will probably be open next week, maybe even this weekend in Florida, is what I'm hearing. But yeah, folks, I mean, look, it's really something tough to think about and measure, because you think, well, I haven't done anything wrong. Why would anybody ever come after me? I'm not pushing anyone's buttons. Well, it doesn't matter. You existing pushes these people's buttons. You wanting to be free pushes these people's buttons. There will be a point in time where you push somebody's buttons and they will come for you next. But I mean, there has to be something going on here, because Jacob, I mean, what has been exposed with the crimes committed by the Obama administration with the illegal spying and the fake Russian, which, by the way, I don't know if you're on to this or not, because you're a journalist in your own regard. I mean, Hillary Clinton wrote the damn dossier, okay? I mean, so the whole thing was a hoax. They wrapped up Flynn. They wrapped up Roger. Now they're trying to throw him in jail. They're the ones that belong in jail. I mean, what it's like, and that's the point, too. It's like, well, what else can I do here? We put Trump in office. If he's not appointing the right people, then I didn't appoint the right people.
Yeah, and Owen, you're out there. I saw you weeks ago, you know, riding motorcycles. You're having a great time in downtown Austin.
I was breathing fresh air like this. Here, hold on, Jacob. We have to remind people how to breathe, all right? So you step outside. You step outside, and you just go.
No, he's snorting COVID-19, and he's going to breathe it.
Hold on, guys. Let me just rail this COVID off my desk real quick. Yeah. Get a doc cam here.
We can only wish.
Can I get a doc cam here? Hold on. I'm about to rail this line of COVID right now. Are you ready for this? Look at that big old pile of COVID right there. You want to get it nice and lined up. Yeah. Oh, that COVID. That's fresh COVID-19. That's the fresh cut stuff right there.
It's actually really good form, Owen. So I don't know where you know that from, but good form. At the end of the day, everyone needs to be able to realize the inner potential in themselves, the inner human, the inner freedom, the inner liberty, and say, if I can go to Walmart, why can't I go to a local small business? Why can't I go to a local brewery? Why am I barred from those places? But I can go to Walmart with 500 people in at a time, but I can't go pick up a growler at a local brewery. This makes no sense. Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis has actually done a really great job about reopening the state in segments. He says, hey, you're having a good time in terms of lower rates of Chinese flu, Wu flu, COVID, whatever you want to call it. Okay, go ahead and open back up. But we have businesses here where I live in Central Florida. I go every day and I spend money that maybe some people say, Jacob, you don't have that money to spend. But there are people who have no freaking jobs. They're at home. They can't feed their pets. They can't feed their children. So if I have a little extra spending money, I'm going to go down there and spend it.
But you see, and this is actually where it all ties together. And I'm kind of in this weird, like, gallows humor, slap happy mood because I'm just at a wit's end, honestly. It's like my only way of not going insane at this point. But see, here, this is where it all ties together, Jacob, because, again, people say, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to rub anybody's nose the wrong way. I'm not going to get involved like Roger Stone. You know, they won't come after me. Folks, they're coming after you right now. They just crashed your economy. They just took your freedoms. They didn't come to your front door with a gun like they did with Roger Stone. They came with a virus and with some fear and then walked away with your freedoms. And you're just kind of sitting there like, oh, I don't even know what just happened, really.
Wake up, America. Wake up. Don't touch your face. Don't touch your eyes. Wash your hands after you go to the bathroom.
Yes, 30 seconds on each finger, says Dr. Fauci. Oh, and what's next? Do I have to breathe oxygen too, doctor? Thank you. All right, Jacob, we've got 40 seconds here. Tell people, defend Roger Stone, website, where they can get more information to help Roger in the next 30 days.
No, everyone needs to know right now that Roger Stone is still fighting for his life, still fighting for his family's life. So go to StoneDefenseFund.com. He just filed an appeal today. We don't want him in prison in the next 30 days. And in fact, if they try and put him in prison, hell no, he won't go. Owen, you, me, and others, hundreds will be gathered. Watch them try.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that, so we'll use that as a teaser for the next time you're on with us when there's a next big development in this story. All right, Jacob Engels, thank you so much. When we come back, Tom Papert, and maybe we open up the phones.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're into the second hour. Tom Papert is coming up from National File. I know they've got some big breaking news there. He'll be updating us on that. We may squeeze in some phone calls as well. You know, I saw this trending about fire Chris Hayes. And then producer Scott showed me Chunk Yogurt's tweet. So apparently Chris Hayes decides he wants to cover the Tara Reid story. I'm stunned Chris Hayes would have that kind of chutzpah. But for the first time in his life, maybe Chris Hayes' testicles finally dropped at the ripe age of, what is he, like 40 now? And so he covered the Tara Reid story saying, hey, we can't just slough this under the rug. And so now immediately all the Democrats are saying, fire Chris Hayes. And so that trends on Twitter because these people are in a cult. But even Chunk Yogurt, old Chank Yuger, says anyone tweeting in support of fire Chris Hayes is saying that they think media should not do the news, but should just do propaganda on behalf of the Democrat Party, which, to be fair, is what MSNBC does 98% of the time. Oh! First, Chris Hayes has a moment of glory, and then Chunk Yuger has a moment of glory? What in the world is going on right now? But really, the question is, how are the Democrats going to sweep this under the rug? Now, apparently, Biden is set to do a TV interview tonight to address these accusations, is what I'm being told. Which you know means it's going to be some set up, rigged interview. But this is their next move in the Biden fiasco. But it's the same thing of everybody knows. I mean, for the love of... Biden fell asleep on live television the other day. Fell asleep. I mean, folks, I mean, there's days where I'll come on air and I will be so dead tired, I can't stop yawning during the break. But as soon as you're live, the adrenaline kicks in and you're focused and you're there. Even if you're not good, if you're not professional, like it doesn't matter. The cameras are on, you know it. There's an added element of pressure. Biden falls asleep. He dozes off. And by the way, where is Hillary Clinton getting her hair did? Everything shut down, but Hillary's got a nice pampered wig. What's that? Oh, she went to the pig farm and they're still servicing pigs. Okay. Oh, I didn't realize that. That's nice for her. Should have been shipped out with the rest of the pork. But then Morning Joe runs an NPR poll. I'm sorry. I just can't even believe that this is true. I don't believe it's true, but it is in that they did it. And they published this. The poll, who Americans prefer handle the coronavirus crisis? 55% voted for the guy that can't think. The guy that can't stay awake, Joe Biden. So, by the way, did you hear the president the other day? It was one of the greatest sound bites that nobody talked about. Somebody asked him about Biden and President Trump said, well, you know, Biden, he's sitting in a basement. He's not moving much. No, he's not. Not many moving parts on old Joe Biden these days. And so the evidence continues to mount up about this Tara Reid thing. But, you know, it's really a joke. The whole Tara Reid thing is honestly a joke. I'm not trying to discount Tara Reid. Biden's on camera. I mean, folks, you know, people say, oh, you can't say that. Why? Biden is on camera molesting children. So, I mean, oh, yeah, Biden, you know... They're saying Biden went and I mean, it's not grab her by the pee. Biden, like, penetrated. Yeah, wrestling a line with his bare hands. I'm live? Oh, sorry. Welcome back to the InfoWars War Room is Raw. And we're in the second hour. My guest, Tom Papert, is with me live from Wichita, Kansas. Tom, I can pretty much give an update now on, at least from the last week, this week, what life is like in Austin, Texas, what life is like in St. Louis, Missouri. It's kind of an odd compare and contrast, honestly, because in Austin, everybody's kind of bought into the mask. Like, the mask is in. People drive around with their mask in their car. They wear their mask around the house, probably. You know, they go on Twitter. They put their mask on. It's like a total trend. But I was in St. Louis for a couple of days. No masks, hardly at all. And then I said that to people in St. Louis. They're like, what? I see masks everywhere. Well, compared to zero masks, yeah, you're going to notice masks. But in Austin, it's like 90% of the people are wearing masks. I don't put on a mask. What is it like in Wichita, Kansas, Tom? Are people into the mask hysteria?
I would say that we have a relatively low number of maskies. I don't know what to call these people, but you do see them. I imagine it's a little bit like Missouri was because, you know, you go to the store and it, of course, depends what part of town you're on. I live in the yuppie part of town. So I go to the store and you see lots of young folks who seem to be buying into the MSNBC and CNN paranoia, and they're wearing the masks. But then you see folks who are a little bit younger, like maybe your age, my age, and on down to the Zoomer generation. They're not wearing the masks. You see a lot of baby boomer type folks. They're not wearing the mask. You see people who maybe they work with their hands for a living. They're not wearing the masks. They're also, and I say this at great risk because I could ruin it for the rest of the state, but it seems like even though we have the markers on the floor that says, wait here, stand here, wait in line, only 350 people inside the store at once, nobody really seems to be abiding by that. We are doing all of the lip service to make the leftists and the government and the governor happy, but it doesn't seem to actually be impacting daily life aside from the fact that, you know, 90% of businesses are closed and may never come back.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go for a run in, let's say, the trail here in Austin, like Lady Bird Lake, and like half the runners are wearing a mask. I went for a run in Forest Park in St. Louis, not a single mask, hundreds of people out there, kids and everything. And it's kind of this weird thing, Tom, where it's like, I don't even know a comparison to make, but it's like on a weird level, like we all kind of know, like, okay, I really don't need to be afraid. This is ridiculous, but we're still kind of going along with it. I don't really know how to measure that. To me, it's frightening that I see Americans willingly going along with this. It's just a conformist mentality.
Well, that's what it is. I think it's the fear of being ostracized. I mean, we see it on social media where one person will say, I think that this is too much. I think that the economy is going to die for no reason. Why are we doing all of this? And they get ganged up on, right, by the army of Karens who say, you just want grandma to die. If you don't wear a mask when you are alone in your car for 30 minutes driving, then you want to kill grandma. I mean, that's so I think a lot of folks are participating or at least giving it lip service because they don't want the army of Karens to come attack them. And I can certainly understand that. I don't do it. I don't abide by any of this. And when the day comes that I have to wear a mask to go to the store, God forbid, I guess I'll die starving in the street. I don't know. I refuse to participate.
Wow. Folks, breaking news. Put it up on the headlines. Tom Papert ready to go on a hunger strike should he be forced to wear a mask in the store. Yeah, I'm not going to do it either. I mean, I'll go out and go full like wolf pack and just start hunting in the woods.
Well, I that's the other thing is I don't think that a lot of folks,
I see you laughing in the middle of the country.
Hey, I have enough relatives who could I could go out and hunt with for the foreseeable future and get all kinds of
protein. I mean, hell, you're in Kansas.
Diet.
Folks, roadkill stew on Highway 70, let me tell you.
You Missouri people. But no, I mean, it's true. I don't think people are going to abide by this, not in your hometown, not in my hometown. I think that on the coast and in the unfortunately Democrat-controlled areas like Austin, sure, they're going to buy into it. But right now, as we speak, in about 2.5 hours at 6:30, our governor is going to come out from her bunker that has a direct pipeline to CNN, and she's going to say, rumor has it, it's been leaked, that this is all essentially over. She's going to keep the declaration of emergency so we can keep getting that sweet money from the federal government, but businesses are going to be allowed to slowly reopen, restaurants, everything is going to slowly go back to normal. I think that the populace here is just fed up with it, and the message is finally getting through to our elected leaders. Now, we'll see if in 2.5 hours that may not come true.
You know, that's actually a good point that is a threat here that nobody's really talking about. The financial benefit here of just reporting coronavirus if you're a hospital. or if you're a mayor or a governor hyping it up, you know, to get more funding. You know, these Democrat states, I mean, I'm not a Mitch McConnell fan, but I think he's right. And, you know, he kind of came off callously in the way he said it. I think it was kind of just his moment of feeling like he was in the arena fighting for the first time ever. So he was kind of callous in the way he said it. But he was right. I mean, look, New York and Illinois and California, they ran themselves into the red. Okay, they have the most taxes. They collect the least tax revenue because their people are broke. Why should the rest of us foot the bill? And then they have the total reversal of reality, and they say, Tyler, I don't know if you saw these headlines, literally dozens, and they always do this. They say, Democrat states forced to subsidize red states. It's the exact opposite. The reason why your taxes went up in New York and California and Illinois is because Trump got rid of your federal tax exemption. You have been the states that have made everybody else pay for you. So not only do they make you go broke and then collapse their own state economies, then they blame you for the whole thing.
Well, that's precisely what happens. I mean, and it's been a disgusting travesty that the real red states like Texas have been able to subsidize this for so long. And now, of course, they're all panicking and think that Trump is Hitler because their taxes went up. But the fact is, it's because of all their endless services for the homeless. I mean, we've got de Blasio out there and Cuomo saying that we're going to have a diversity summit. So that way everybody is treated equally under Corona. It makes absolutely no
sense. Oh, thank goodness.
Sense,
yeah, that'll save your collapsed financial account. But so, if you're the governor of New York and you look at your bank account and you've got nothing, you've got less than nothing, you're in so much debt, but you know the only way you're going to be able to do anything this entire year is if you get federal cash. And so they're driving up the coronavirus thing. They're begging for stimulus money because of it, and they're getting it. They would have $0. Cuomo literally came out and said, I have nothing unless the federal government cuts me a check.
Well, and we're not just making this up, Owen. I mean, now Project Veritas has put it out there. They've had interviews with four or five different funeral directors in New York and in New Jersey who say that there is a massive financial incentive to write COVID-19 on the death certificate, no matter what actually comes from it, no matter if it's actually COVID, no matter if it's the flu, no matter if it's pneumonia. There was one patient who died of complications that had to do with Alzheimer's. But the fact is, all of these Democrat governors and mayors and the hospitals, they know that there is a big piggy bank called coronavirus. And here in Kansas, we're a microcosm of this. We had the Democrat Governor Kelly come into office in 2018, and she immediately went on a spending frenzy like we have never seen before in this state. We already had a shaky financial setting with our government. Well, she drove us straight off the cliff into the deep end, and now she's seeing the horizon. She's seeing her way out. At one point, the rumor had it that she was going to hold this state hostage and keep us in lockdown until the Republicans in the state House and Senate signed off on her Medicare expansion, which was never, ever going to happen in this state, basically expanding Obamacare while Trump's trying to dismantle it. But the fact is, this is happening in every Democrat state. They run their local government into the ground, and then a crisis like this comes out, and it's the bailout fund. They'll be fine now, and they'll be remembered as a great leader. In fact, we're seeing that. The approval ratings for these people are going through the roof because it looks like they're doing something when all they're really doing is sucking the federal taxpayer dry.
Tomorrow's going to be a big day because there's rallies happening across the nation on May 1st. There'll be an event here in Austin, Texas, the capital of Texas. There will probably be events at all the Capitol grounds around America. So we'll be covering that. We'll see if that's the case. When we come back with Tom Papert, we'll find out what the latest is on nationalfile.com. This is the InfoWars War Room, almost halfway through today's transmission. Did you share those links? Did you share those links yet?
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the InfoWars War Room is Raw. I want to take care of a couple things before we get Tom Papert back on air. It is one of the great crew members' birthdays today. This crew member is so fantastical. Once did a worldwide rock tour, wrote successful albums for a famous band, then just left the band and said, I've got other things to take care of. Makes a lot of the graphics that you see here on the War Room and is very photogenic. And that's what we love the most about him. He also one time performed surgery on his own head to remove a 5G tumor. So, I mean, the skills that he has are, I mean, the fact that we have him on our crew, really, it is a blessing, ladies and gentlemen. So happy birthday. He's dressed in his birthday uniform today, too, let me tell you. So always looking good. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com, we can hire great crew members like our friend Dan there, who does such a great job. It's all thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of good specials happening right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And we have back in stock. I did a little dropper of the Survival Shield X2 today when I got into studio. And it is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Game-changing product, the Survival Shield X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. The Ultimate Krill Oil also back in stock. Also 50% off. And we're still running 50% off the brand new hand sanitizer. Everyone else is sold out. Not us. We've got the all-organic Emmerich Essentials hand sanitizer, 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Three different scents, lavender, eucalyptus, peppermint, InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you so much for your support. So that's InfoWarsStore.com. This is the InfoWars War Room. Tom Papert is with us from NationalFile.com. I was at National Fire earlier today, Tom, before I got on a plane, and I saw there was some developing news stories over there. What's the latest?
Well, of course, we've finally got, and I can't believe it, but the mainstream media is being forced to acknowledge, if not our reporting, then what we reported when it comes to Fauci. We today had Newsweek come out and admit that, yes, Fauci was funding the Wuhan lab where this all may or may not have come from. Fauci is involved with Bill Gates. So it was extremely rewarding today when we saw Newsweek essentially rerunning a National File article claiming that it was all their journalism, of course, but it was a very nice thing to see. Now, of course, also Fauci today has come out just last night and said no sports, Owen. There will be no sports for the entirety of 2020. The only way we could possibly do it is to quarantine the players in between games and have nobody in the stand. So I guess that is the future of America. But meanwhile, Fauci, of course, says that you can download Grindr, Tinder, whatever your personal preference may be, and hook up with as many people as you like, so long as you're willing to take that risk. We also have the UK admitting that the Chinese ventilators will probably kill you. Do not take a Chinese ventilator. And Canada making Barack Obama proud, and his former number two, not letting a crisis go to waste. They're going to ban semi-automatic firearms while everybody is focused on coronavirus. So, Owen, you could say it's been a hell of a day.
Yeah, you know, you hit two things there. The ventilators. Oh, and I should have, I didn't get to my notes quick enough. Tom Papert just rattled off like 10 stories. My head was spinning. But, you know, I had actually as a liberal come up to me. And, you know, the whole coronavirus thing is kind of, I mean, it's tough to explain. It's not that it's severed the divide or bridged the divide between liberals and conservatives, but there has been a lot of common ground with this coronavirus thing. And I remember I was talking to a liberal who was like freaking out about the ventilators. And you were talking about the Chinese ventilators. I'm telling you, man, this is a story. I don't know how nobody's really, you know, tried to make a name off of this deal, but the ventilators in New York killing people, the Chinese-made ventilators, and it just kind of seems to get brushed under the rug, conveniently for Governor Cuomo, I think. If anybody's benefiting from that, it is Governor Cuomo. Oh, but okay, yeah, you mentioned Fauci. And so Trump just pulled funding that the U.S. had going to this Wuhan lab. Well, I mean, we should go beyond just pulling funding. We should be investigating anybody who was involved there. But here's Fauci saying, oh, you can't go to sports, as if anybody ever elected him to even be dog catcher. I mean, I wouldn't even, that guy could be my garbage disposal, you know, but no sports. My prediction is, and I've been saying that the NFL will open up their season, probably the only one that will, and they'll say you have to have your health documents to get in or take a temperature check. There'll be some form and they'll roll it out with the NFL. Now, I did see that the NHL, or maybe I just heard this from a little birdie, that the NHL was getting ready to start going to practice and reopening some of their facilities. Look, I don't expect anybody other than potentially the NHL to disobey whatever Fauci will say. The NFL, the NBA, and the MLB will go right along with it. That's not a knock on the players necessarily. That's just the commissioners. The NHL is kind of a different breed. It's considered more of a garage league. Gary Bettman needs something to make the fans not hate him anymore. This is an opportunity. So maybe the NHL stands up and says, hey, we're going to have our season. If not, I think what I'm afraid of, Tom, and I'm a guy that likes going to a ball game and having peanuts and a beer. I'm guessing they're going to ruin that for everyone. And they're going to say, you can't go to the ball game unless you have your vaccine health documents. Or maybe they'll start you a little lighter and just give you like a temperature check before you walk in. Or maybe, hell, they'll do some blood test before you can go in. I mean, that is like it's right in your face. And I think that's why they want to do it with sports, Tom, because, you know, everybody kind of at least knows what's going on in some way or shape or form in the sports world. But you go to a sporting event, you want to go, you paid $200 to get in, you're going to comply.
I think you're right. And they've already kind of teased this, Owen. And it's the one thing that, I mean, I don't appreciate the people who are obsessed with sports, but it's the American tradition. And we all love baseball and football and everything else except soccer. But they've already been pushing this. ESPN reported on a poll about 2 weeks ago saying that the majority of Americans, according to this poll, which I don't buy for a second, would be fine with not having public sporting events where you can buy a ticket and go sit in the stands until after there is a vaccine, and then you would have to prove that you have taken said vaccine.
So wait a second, before you could go see this? It. This is the lie, the biggest lie poll I've ever heard of. ESPN.
So this was reported by ESPN, and it was one of the big major polling. Yep. It was one of the big major polling companies out there. And again, I don't particularly buy it, but this is the narrative that they're trying to put forward, that people will be fine getting your temperature taken before you go see a game. People will be fine having to take a shot before you go see the game. And I just don't personally believe that the majority of Americans actually will actually comply with this. I mean, maybe, because the one group of people who will do it are dedicated sports fans who have been going to every game for 35 years, and now this is the next thing they're going to have to do to keep the tradition alive.
I don't know. I don't see that happening at all, quite frankly. I don't see the sports world taking that lightly whatsoever. I think there would be a major pushback. But I will say this. We're going to break. We'll talk about this on their side. When you talk about, will people accept this? Will they not? A leading question as we go into the break here. Tom Peppert, have you seen the responses to Bill Gates on social media? I mean, every day it gets worse for him.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
I love the coffee at InfoWarsStore.com so much. It's a problem because during the break, I go in and I fill my mug like, you know, to the brim, like a psychopath. And then I spill it all over myself like a fool. But I got my hot coffee here, so that's really all that matters to me. The Wake Up America Patriot blend at InfoWarsStore.com. Yes, I am on my second cup of coffee. Probably be three before the show is over. Tom Peppert is with us from NationalFile.com. This hot, steaming cup of Joe is joining us from InfoWarsStore.com. But Tom, before the break, we were talking about the response Bill Gates has gotten on social media. I mean, I've been kind of following this for a couple weeks here. It's worse than ever. And in fact, because what I'll do is you can just go to Bill Gates on Twitter or Instagram and just go look at his most recent post, or go look at the Bill and Melinda Gates recent post on Twitter. And it kind of first started where it'd be like 75% people saying, you know, screw you, Gates, you know, get bent, whatever. Now it's 100%. I mean, just thousands of replies on everything Bill Gates puts out, everything the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation puts out, just thousands of negative replies. Just, you know, screw you, Bill Gates, go to hell, you know, take your Genesis down to hell with you. So, I mean, I don't even know how to really describe that phenomenon. I don't know how to properly analyze this, because here's Bill Gates, unelected, unpopular, not a doctor, not a virologist, and yet here he is telling us how to run our lives and how to run our healthcare and how to run our country and our society and our civilization, unelected. I mean, what? And then he gets totally rejected by the common man and the American public, but he never stops. He's still coming to force vaccinate you and to sell you on big pharmaceutical. I mean, what? How do you analyze that? How do you analyze a guy who's being totally rejected on his face, but claims he wants to help humanity, but then is just gonna, you know, go ahead and become a unelected dictator in the process?
Well, you know, Owen, there's kind of two parts of it. One is, you know, he has no friends, so he's tried to buy his friends. But what are the type of friends that one is able to buy? Well, you get the Dr. Fauci and the Dr. Birx. Those are the type of people, the friends that you can buy. They're not the highest caliber of friend, I don't think. The other part of this is Bill Gates is kind of an enigma, because he has always tried to position himself like a Steve Jobs type of figure, where he is a popular man of the people. Everybody loves him. And it's just never been the case. In the 1990s, Microsoft was almost broken into a million pieces due to antitrust reasons. Bill Gates is one of the most hated men in America. While I would never condone it, there's the viral video that's been going around for the first time in 15 or 20 years of Bill Gates getting pied in the face when he's walking down the street. So he has always been a miserable, hated human being. But because he has this money, he can buy off people like Fauci, is what the people seem to be saying. We found a lot of evidence that that's happening. And the same goes with Birx and all of these other people. And he can push his agenda. He just throws money at Africa and they treat him like a god. So he thinks that he can buy popularity, but the fact is that is not and has never been true. And the American people, like you were saying, Owen, even I'm seeing even Democrats, even like Bernie Sanders folks who are furious with Bill Gates, are not behind his agenda. And you're right, his social media has been a comedic source of relief for the past couple weeks, especially as the populace just turns 100% against this man. And by the way, this is emblematic of Microsoft as well. Remember, it was what, 2 weeks ago, in the middle of all the Bill Gates phenomenon and this coronavirus, that they tried to put out a virtual reality video with our new virtual mommy, the witch, the Satan worshiping Marina Abramovic. I mean, it's totally insane on the surface, but they really do think that they can just buy your love.
Let me tell you something. Guys, show that Bill Gates getting pied again. Let me tell you something. You got to smoke about a full, you got to torch a full gram of 80 extract salvia to see a chicken neck goblin like that in this dimension. I mean, let me tell you, folks, you don't see a chicken necked demon goblin in the third dimension like this. I don't know how Bill Gates has done it. I don't know how Bill Gates has permanently transmorphed his chicken neck goblin demon body into the third dimension. I mean, normally you're taking high doses of ayahuasca. I mean, you're smoking the DMT. You know what I mean? You're Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds to see a chicken neck goblin like Gates running around. But somehow Gates, he's come full into the third dimension as the little demon goblin he is, and he's scampering around, but he's coming full bore. Oh, don't worry, we're getting ready to test around the nation, and we'll have the vaccines, and I'm Bill Gates, so trust me. And then everyone totally rejects him. I mean, because I just think logically, Tom. I mean, if Bill Gates really cared, why? I mean, he would see the public response to him and back off. He's doubling down. He's getting more aggressive. He's doing more interviews. He's becoming more Orwellian. I mean, to me, that's the biggest indicator of all of who he really is. Instead of backing off, you know, because some people, they'll lick their finger and see which way the wind blows. Say, oh, okay, you know what? This isn't working for me. I'll back off. Oh, not Bill Gates. He sees the wind is blowing fully against him, and he says, oh, how dare you? I'm going in.
Well, I think that both his goblin-like appearance and that type of attitude come from what he is bred. He is 100% elite, and his family has been elitist for generations now. I mean, there's this great myth that, you know, Bill Gates was in his middle-class parents' garage toying around with electronics, and then boom, Microsoft was born. I mean, that's a total and complete lie. Yeah, he's a college dropout, but he's a college dropout because his daddy wanted him to go to college because his daddy was filthy, stinking rich, and his daddy's daddy was filthy, stinking rich. So, you know how these elite folks are. I mean, look at the Nancy Pelosi's of the world. Look at the George Soros of the world, where he looks like a demon possessed mummy and he keeps coming to life every couple years to tell us that we're evil and should die. I mean, that is fundamentally the same type of person that Bill Gates is with. In fact, Patrick Halley, senior reporter for National File, was able to unearth an old photo of Bill Gates' father with George Soros, with Anthony Fauci. I mean, these are all the same creatures. They're all from the same land.
I'd like to know who was working with Jeffrey Epstein on his New Mexico ranch. We know Bill Gates was on the Lolita Express. That's been confirmed. His name was found in the black books. But who was working with Epstein on his New Mexico ranch where they were, I mean, really, who knows what they were doing? I mean, he talked about all kinds of crazy stuff, clones, eugenics. Who was working with him on that ranch? I mean, my first instinct is Fauci and Gates.
Well, we certainly know. I mean, it goes without saying that Bill Gates is 100% interested in eugenics in Africa. He thinks he has the cure for every ailment plaguing the dark continent. He, at one point, not that long ago, like maybe 6-7 years, was saying the real cure for HIV, how we can eradicate AIDS in Africa, is mass circumcision of all things. So this man is clearly playing eugenics.
What?
He clearly thinks that he knows what's best for everybody in the world, and he's going to keep throwing money at you until you agree with him, Owen.
This Bill Gates story is just the weirdest thing, honestly. Like, when you really go into it and you look at the past, and then you look at the patents, and then you look at all the developments around the coronavirus, which has turned into the tool that is used to change the face of the world. And it successfully has, Tom. It doesn't even matter that all the models were wrong. It doesn't even matter we were totally lied to. It doesn't even matter that it's now being used to destroy America. Oh, we just go along with it anyway, and now the new world order after coronavirus is here, and even though we now know the whole thing was a panic plandemic, it doesn't matter. We still go along with it, and that's just how it's going to be. So yeah, the models were all wrong. Yeah, they're using it to get Trump. Yeah, they're continuing to lie. Yeah, they were boosting the numbers. Yeah, it came out of a lab. Yeah, Bill Gates and Fauci connected. Doesn't matter. You're a slave now, bitch.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Oh, this is just glorious. The left and the Democrats are now freaking out because they lost the narrative here. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the coronavirus was made in China. And so, naturally, the joke is, everything's made in China. Yeah, so is the coronavirus. And so, apparently, there's bumper stickers now that have COVID-19 made in China. And the Democrats and the leftist media are just freaking out. Oh, it's racist, it's bigoted, it's xenophobic. No, it was made in China. So, I mean, it's just like, they... Like, hey, this was made in China. Shut up, racist. What? It says made in China. It's like my teeth. Like, if I looked at this shirt, let's say I look at my shirt here. I don't know where it was made. Let's say I look at my shirt. It's made in China. And I say, oh, these threads were made in China. Whoa, you racist. What are you talking about? It says it on the damn tag. But I didn't even mean to go off on that. It's just I saw Jim Acosta. I think he had a little liberal tear moment because he saw made in China. But what I want to do here, Tom, is play a couple clips Pelosi responding to the Biden question and then Trump responding to a question on Roger Stone and hammering CNN. Let's start with that here, Tom. Here's President Trump today hammering CNN and talking about Roger Stone.
Really have tremendous numbers.
Mr. President, let me ask you about General Flynn.
Yeah.
Are you going to pardon him? This is what you tweeted back in December 2017. I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. Yeah. Do you still believe that he lied to the vice president and the FBI?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, sure. When I looked at what they did to him, they tormented him. Dirty cops tormented General Flynn. General Flynn is a fine man, 35 years or so in the military. You don't get to be where he is by being bad, that I can tell you. And then he, right at the beginning of the administration, the dirty cops came in. And you see the notes, Jim. I mean, whether you're on our side, that side, whatever. I mean, I assume let's all talk about fairness. What they did to General Flynn, and by the way, to Roger Stone and to others, was a disaster and a disgrace. And it should never be allowed to happen in this country again. And what I really hope...
That's why they need to be arrested and thrown into a very sharp steel wall. I mean, a jail.
And I appreciate your question. I hope to see that CNN will not even apologize, which they should, but just cover it fairly, because he's in the process of being exonerated. If you look at those notes from yesterday, that was total exoneration. These were dirty, filthy cops at the top of the FBI, and you know the names better than I do, and they were dishonest people. Now we have to see what's going to happen. But General Flynn was treated like nobody should, and I'm not talking about generals, I'm saying like nobody in this country should be treated. And they did it right at the beginning. They did it right, Jim, they did it.
But you know what's really so despicable about this, Tom, as he's talking to Jim Acosta? The media was in on it. The media wanted to see the downfall of Michael Flynn. They wanted to see the downfall of the great American general. They wanted to see the downfall of Roger Stone. They were cheering it on. They were cheerleading it. They were in the huddle. They were catching passes. They were spiking ball. I mean, they were like, they're in on the whole thing. So they can't sit back now and say, oh my gosh, the notes are, oh my gosh. Oh, he had no idea. BS. You were in on it from the beginning in CNN and MSNBC. So I don't want to see this whole thing be ignored. It's like, oh yeah, Flynn got a bad job by the dirty cops. Well, yeah, he did. CNN and MSNBC and NBC and all of them, they were in on it too, Tom.
Absolutely. And this is their latest little ploy here. They're going to try to use the president's words against him because the president at the time knew what we all knew, that everybody and their mother was saying that General Flynn lied. So that's the information he had to go off of. That's the action he had to take. But now we know that it was a complete and total stitch up. And as you said, the media certainly knew this. They were the ones who started pounding on General Flynn before anybody else. The same with Roger Stone. I mean, Roger Stone, we are almost certain, without having verifiable smoking gun, that CNN was tipped off by the FBI, and that's how come they knew to stake out his house that night. It's all a complete sham, and I certainly hope that it can all be worked out. President Trump seems to think that it's going to just be worked out in the court of law, but if not, it's a complete and utter sham, and we need to know that the president will be there to pardon the people who are screwed over by the opposition party, who are destroyed not because of their bad mistakes that they've made, but because they supported the wrong guy in 2016. We need to know that the president is going to stand by his supporters. And by the way, I know Roger has been very, it's very confusing of what he is and isn't able to say or willing to say, but for those at home, we have a massive new article. Just go to nationalfile.com and search Roger Stone, where Roger spoke extensively to Patrick Howley about exactly how he was set up by these crooked cops. And, you know, if they're trying to put him in jail, I think they're saying tomorrow. Now he's appealed it again. And according to President Trump, this should all just work out in the courts. And if it doesn't work out in the courts, well, then exactly what is supposed to happen? Your guess is as good as mine, Owen.
But what did the president say? He said this should never happen again. It should never happen to anybody in America. Well, look, you can pardon these individuals, Mike Flynn, Roger Stone, and right or wrong, but you won't fix the problem. I mean, these people need to be tried for sedition, overthrow of government, and perhaps even treason, which is punishable by death. And that's, quite frankly, where this needs to go. If you don't want to see this happen ever again in America, then the parties responsible for it need to suffer royally and for all to see. And I mean, it's just like, but that's the frustration, Tom. It's like, we've known that since the beginning, and yet we continue to see the preponderance of the deep state.
Well, and you're right, because if these people, it's one thing to fire them. You know, there's a million more lackeys that still believe Jim Comey is their messiah working in the FBI, and they believe that Barack Obama is the Lord on high. Now, so unless you teach these people forcefully, legally, lawfully, but they need legal repercussions. I mean, if you or me did this in the private sector, Owen, if we made up a bunch of lies and told Alex that Scott, the producer, is doing all these bad things, and then it comes out that there's secret notes that you and I share expressing our wish to make sure Scott gets fired, and then Alex finds that, he's going to hammer us out of the building like nobody's ever heard of. But suddenly when it's government and it's not getting somebody fired, but it's life or death, life in prison, then there's no repercussions. That's what I think really sickens the American people. The government class, these elitists that are just bureaucrats in the FBI who haven't done a real day's work in decades, they somehow get special privileges that we don't. And if this goes on, you're not going to have any faith in the American system. That's what it comes down to. If we want a government that we believe is actually working for us, there need to be repercussions. Whether it's treason, whether it's life in jail, whatever the case may be, these people need to pay if they're found guilty.
I mean, you stand about 24 inches behind a bucking Bronco. You know, I mean, that's one idea. You know, I wanted to play this Pelosi clip with you, Tom. In fact, let's go to it as much as we can here. Here's Pelosi responding to the Biden issue today.
As far as Biden is a concern, how do Democrats square?
She's only about a fifth of vodka in at this point, so she's kind of still talking, making sense.
They're standing by Biden, but they're using a comparatively different standard with the Kavanaugh when you demanded a investigation on Justice Kavanaugh when a very similar allegation came out on him.
Let me just say, imagine how much
booze is soaked into those mics after she uses it.
A lecture or a speech. Here's the thing. I have complete respect for the whole Me Too movement. I have four daughters and one son. And there's a lot of excitement around the idea that women will be heard and be listened to. There is also due process.
Oh.
And the fact that Joe Biden is Joe Biden. There's been statements from his campaign.
He's Joe Biden.
Not his campaign, but his former employees who ran his offices and the rest, that there was never any record. There was never any record. And that nobody ever came forward.
There was never any record. There's never any record of Nancy Pelosi chugging a gallon of vodka either.
I'm so proud. The happiest day for me this week was to support Joe Biden.
I mean, look at this drunkard up here.
He's a person of great integrity, a great concern for the American people.
He fought
the Violence Against Women Act when he was the chair.
Pull
the drunkard down. Tom, go ahead.
Well, you know, the great irony is that Nancy Pelosi's son has been accused of committing a terrible Me Too crime. He's been accused of abusing women financially, abusing women's children, but getting them taken away by CPS. So, of course, she's going to support Joe Biden. There's no difference. That's her son.
How about Joe Biden's son can't even pay child support? He's making millions in China and Ukraine, but, his kids, kids. What are you? I thought I aborted those kids. Get those out of here. All right, Tom Papert, NationalFile.com. Tom, thank you so much. I mean, folks, if you can drink as much as Nancy Pelosi, wow.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Well, Joe Biden is Joe Biden, so, I mean. Hey, that creep over there was just groping my child in the daycare section. No, that's just Joe Biden. It's okay. Oh, that's your logic, huh? Well, that's the logic that the Democrats are going with now. So should be interesting. And even though Joe Biden is quite literally falling asleep on television in the middle of an interview with Hillary Clinton, who just had her hair pampered, probably illegally. But Morning Joe says that the polls say that 55% of Americans trust Biden over Trump to deal with coronavirus. Can you believe how much we've been duped? They're claiming that the United States, which makes up, what is it, 5% of the world's population? The United States makes up about 5% of the world's population. And they're claiming the United States has a quarter, that's 25% of the worldwide coronavirus cases and deaths. I mean, it's cut and dry. And I mean, folks, we've put the rub, we've jerked it, we've got the salt, the seasoning, it's been on the grill, lathered in barbecue sauce, big old juicy rack of ribs, and it's done. And but you're, no. Those aren't juicy St. Louis style baby back ribs. No. No, ladies and gentlemen, the United States is clearly responsible for 25% of the world's coronavirus cases and deaths. I mean, obviously. I mean, the math adds up. But again, it's so cut and dry. Made in China. Came out of China. Fauci, Gates, involved. Used to collapse the American economy. Used to bring in the digital surveillance state. All of it's happening. And the only difference between Hillary and Trump at this point is that Hillary would have had the Chinese weapon in America, Huawei, that they used to zap all the people, whether intentionally or unintentionally, in Wuhan, leading to the big outbreak there. It's a very complex issue, folks. Okay. Made in a lab in China. And it'll come out. I mean, it's already coming out. Call it a bioweapon or not, doesn't matter. The coronavirus was made in a lab in China, leaked. China knew it. That's why you saw their response. They let it spread to the world. The World Health Organization and the CDC, who are in bed with China, are responsible for that. And so America now is told, you're bad, Trump's fault, now you die. It's like in From Russia with Love, I think, when the guy says, Bond is on the table, strapped in. He says, what do you expect me to do? He says, I expect you to die. That's where America's at. Yeah, the coronavirus, made in China. The models, wrong. The economy, dying. And Americans are sitting here like, well, what do you expect us to do? We expect you to die, America. Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates want to see America die. But to them, it's not even a, like it's impossible to get in their mindset. It's not even a thing that they hate America. They hate America because they hate you being free. They hate the fact that you have a gun. They hate the fact you can educate your child as you see fit. That's what they hate. Now, that's just the American values. That's just the system we've created, which has created the most prosperous system in world history. That's what they hate. They don't want you to prosper at all. They want you to be in total control by their digital medical grid. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this must be a real exclusive that you're about to get right here. Final hour of the InfoWars War Room is Raw. Aubrey Huff is my next guest, and I think, I could be wrong here, but we may be getting a debut of the new studio for Off the Cuff, which is about to be launched by Aubrey Huff, but I guess I've just blown my own tease and I've just put the cat out of the bag. So Aubrey Huff is with us. You see behind him some of his World Series regalia there. Of course, they, you know, the old libs out there in San Francisco want to act like he wasn't a part of that World Series team, but we all remember history. We saw him play in those games. So, but Aubrey, really exciting for you. I'm thinking back, I guess it was about 6 to 8 months ago when you were getting heckled for daring to show your sons how to use firearms. Crazy journey it's been to get to this point. You're selling art. It looks like you have one of your Iron Man paintings behind you. You're starting a podcast. I bet you never saw this coming when you just simply took your sons out shooting, not as a political stunt, just to teach them how to use a firearm. Now all of a sudden you're truly a leader in the political culture world.
Well, thanks, Owen. It's glad to be on. I'm happy to be on the show. I love coming on here and talking shop. Yeah, it was interesting. All this started to happen, like you said, when I took my kids shooting guns and teaching them how to properly operate a weapon safely. And as you said, I took a lot of flack for that. And, you know, for me, honestly, when I retired from Major League Baseball, I was just expecting to go off and ride off into the sunset in peace. But, interesting thing happened whenever I posted that tweet. I kind of sort of, got forced into this political sphere. And I got to tell you, man, I've enjoyed every second of it. I'm enjoying the political side of the world. You know, I've obviously been an athlete my whole life and never really gave much thought to any kind of political realm or topics of this nature. But this has been a blast. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, you were kind of a bit of a roughneck as a Major League Baseball player, too. So it kind of just fits into that persona, I think, your political approach to things. And so now you're launching the new podcast Off the Cuff. Tell us about that. Where can people find it? What is the content going to be like? And, where do you think this is going to go for you?
Yeah, I was actually talking to my co-host about that last night. And we don't really know where it's going to go. And a lot like my baseball career, I love playing baseball. And that's really the reason that I got into baseball, because I loved it. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the fame and all those things that come with it. It was just because I absolutely loved doing it. And when I got out of baseball, I realized how much I miss being around people, talking to people, the camaraderie, the hijinks in the clubhouse that you miss so much. And I remember starting doing some podcasts and talking about my experiences in baseball. I started really enjoying it. I thought to myself, I heard some of these podcasts and people having their own. I'm like, why don't I start one up myself? And so I started doing it. And honestly, we haven't really launched yet. I'm recording episodes now. And we're going to pump out 10 in a row here in about, I would say, within the next 2 weeks.
Well, I'm loving it. I love seeing athletes, getting involved. It's not even about getting involved in politics. It's about not catering to the fear mob, not catering to the liberal agenda that sadly a lot of athletes either promote or cater to for obvious reasons. It's refreshing for me to see an athlete stand up against us. It was refreshing for me to see Kurt Suzuki put on the MAGA hat after winning the World Series. Like, we just don't see that enough. And, coming from kind of the back end of a different sports generation, sports have really changed so much. Part of the draw of sports to me, it used to be hey, these are tough men, right? Like, these are tough men. They're going out there, putting their bodies on the line. They're getting scraped up. They're getting bruised. They're getting beaten up. Sports, I'm not attacking athletes, but that aspect has kind of like been lost. It's all kind of been spit shined and polished, and it's a nice television delivery, and it's kind of censored for you. It doesn't really have the attitude anymore. You're kind of like that old 90s, early 2000s attitude, bringing it into the politics podcast spectrum.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because last night, interestingly enough, we had Lenny Dykstra on as a guest. And that was, let me tell you something, Owen, you want to get some 80s, 90s crazy stories, just hearing his stories from the 86 Mets. You had Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden, and these guys are just drugged out of their mind. It was absolutely crazy listening to his stories. But you're right. The game has changed an awful lot. And it's really, a lot of it's just a public persona. All these kids now have these social media followings and they're clean as a whistle. And back then it was just, play hard. Guys slitting hard with spikes up and getting hit. If guys are flipping bats and showing people up, it's just a completely different game. And, you look at guys like, as good as A-Rod was, You know, and you know, I know there's a lot of speculation on whether he used or not, which I know he admitted to. But you hear him on the air; it's very political. He sounds like an Obama type, where he's just, you know, spit shining everything. He sounds like a politician. Nobody wants to fucking hear that. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right. We can spit shine that right out of the live broadcast.
There you go. I get into my podcast mode, and I kind of go off the cuff as I do. But speaking of old school baseball, there's a little bit of that language there. But yeah, it's just, I feel like we've lost an edge in baseball a little bit. You know, hopefully at some point, you know, the game goes through phases. Maybe we'll get back to that one day. You never know.
I just, you know, I do wonder about that, because it really is, it's so much of a TV thing now. And I really think that's what it is. It's the TV thing. I'm not sure how much really the players have changed. I mean, generations of people change. But I think it's a TV thing, because I was watching, you know, there's no live sports happening right now. So sports networks are running a lot of classic games, right? And, you know, I'm watching the classic games and I'm realizing something that I already knew, but seeing it, it's like, wow, I'm watching sports. I'm not watching a presentation. I'm not watching a media rollout. I'm not watching a big advertising campaign. I'm watching a game. I'm watching men compete, leaving it out on the line. Modern day sports, it's all flashing lights and flashing graphics and ad campaigns and sponsors on the field and breaks and sponsors on the jersey and sponsors on live reads. It's like you get lost. You don't even watch the game half the time anymore.
Yeah, I didn't have a social media presence when I played for that very reason. I didn't want the distraction. The game was hard enough as it was. I didn't need all that outside distractions. And, you know, I was getting paid very handsomely to play a kid's game. And I just felt like I don't need to have all these endorsements and stuff like that, these commercials and things of that nature. You know, it's absolutely baffling to me the amount of guys in the league today, especially, you know, you look like the guys like LeBron James. Guy's making so much money in the NBA, and yet he's out there with all these causes and stuff like that and pumping all these different, you know, commercials that, you know, he doesn't believe in, like Sprite. You think he drinks Sprite?
I doubt it. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm going to back a product or anything like that, it's going to be at least something I believe in. I feel like a lot of guys today sell out just for the almighty dollar.
Here's what I want to talk about with you in the upcoming segments. We've got about a minute and a half left here, but briefly getting into that. What do you think the future of sports is going to look like after the coronavirus? Because we're already seeing, you know, this whole notion of, okay, you can't get into a ball game without proof of vaccines or, you know, getting your temperature checked or something like that. And they're trying to sell it like, oh yeah, the fans are ready. They want that. No, I don't buy that for a second. No fans want that. People in the media aren't going to want that. So how do you think they're going to try to approach this in just 60 seconds here quick, and then we'll get deeper in the next segment? How are they going to approach this rollout after the coronavirus thing settles?
It's going to be curious. Absolutely. I know baseball seems to be the only industry. It seems like they're really pushing to get the games in this year. Yeah, seemingly basketball is probably going to be shut down, and hopefully football gets going. But can you imagine being a professional athlete? I know I couldn't. Going out there and playing a game that matters and getting paid for it with absolutely zero people in the stands. It would feel like a glorified spring training game with nobody. It would be absolutely impossible to get up for. So, you know, if people start showing up and they get, you know, social distancing in the stands, listen, this is all blown out of way out of proportion. I don't know about you, Owen, but I don't know a person that knows a person that knows a person that has had this virus. You know, it says it's killing a lot of people out there. There's been cases where people have died, but the numbers could be skewed. I mean, you know, we'll get more into it in the next segment, like you said, but the future of sports may be drastically changed forever.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I'm in complete agreement. I mean, I don't see sports fans, sports media, or really even the athletes accepting this. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the real power. And as much power as the commissioners have and the pocketbooks of the advertisers and such, if the players aren't up for the game and the fans aren't watching anymore, they're going to be forced to make a change here. We'll see what happens.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Here we go. Welcome back into the Infowars War Room is Raw. Aubrey Huff is with me. Former MLB baseball player, did make the Hall of Fame ballot, ladies and gentlemen. Got to give him credit for that. Somebody thought about voting for him. They thought about voting for him. They did think about it at some point in time. But hey, he's really making an important mark on this country post playing days after his career. But, you know, I have the story right here. Aubrey, MLB expects to open or use home ballparks for spring training if plans to play season proceed. And so, you know, these leagues are kind of looking at it from a financial standpoint now, realizing, okay, what is the real cost if we don't play a game this year? I mean, when you think about the advertising dollars and packages and, you know, the deals to get your company's name on the scoreboard or on the dugout and all this other stuff, there's some serious consequences to this. And so I think everybody's kind of measuring that right now. So it does look like MLB wants to start this season. I think the NHL is trying to reopen their camps for training right now. I agree with you. I don't know if the NBA will reopen. They'll just wait to hear whatever President Xi in China says and probably just go along with that. And then my guess is the NFL will probably say, oh, we're opening, but you have to show your vaccine papers to get in. You have a perspective from, you know, being an athlete, playing in the MLB as a professional athlete, knowing professional athletes. I mean, do you think the only really claim I've seen is from Novak Djokovic, tennis player, who said, I'm not taking a vaccine to get back on the pro tennis circuit. I guarantee you there's other ones thinking that. They may not say it. But, you know, what do you think is going through the minds of an MLB player watching all this? Are they, you know, chomping at the bit to get back out there, get things back to normal? Are they saying, hey, I don't want to take a vaccine to play or go, you know, go to spring training? What do you think is going on in a professional athlete's mind right now?
Well, I know a lot of these guys, and I've spoken to quite a few of them recently, and they're dying to get back on the field, obviously. I remember whenever I was playing, and when that offseason seemed to last forever. I can't imagine what they're going through now. But, you know, as far as getting back to playing, I know the big dollars are TV dollars, the big networks that pay these organizations. That's where the big money is. If these guys aren't on the field, obviously there's no TV. The concessions and fans in the stands, ticket sales, that's just a small fraction of what organizations make. It's really the TV money. So, yeah, Major League Baseball wants to get these guys back on the field and fans in the stands for that matter. And interesting, I don't think people really understand, is these baseball players are not getting paid right now either. And you're talking about guys making $20 million a year every day they don't play. They're losing thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, you know, that's a big deal. And as far as the vaccines go, Owen, I got to tell you, man, you know, I've been really looking into a lot of these things, this whole Bill Gates thing and how he's kind of cornered the market on this coronavirus and apparently a vaccine with microchipping. It's really interesting, compelling stuff. I don't know how deep this rabbit hole goes, but, you know, I'll tell you one thing. I would never get a vaccine for this thing, or my kids would never get a vaccine for this thing. Like I said before, I don't know anybody who knows anybody that's had this virus. And I've been going to the grocery store. I've been going places without a mask. And so have my kids. We're completely fine. Again, like I said, I think a lot of this is heavily covered up with something deeper going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, and real world tests. And sometimes you just have to do the real world test, folks. You have to cut yourself off from media altogether and do the real world test. And that's it. Hey, you know what? There's something going around. People are getting sick, but me and my family, we're okay. And my neighbors are okay. And so, you know what? This isn't this big, you know, deadly thing that they had us in fear of. So, you know what? It's okay. But, you know, Aubrey, Major League Baseball has a lot of conservative Christians in that organization. And I, you know, I don't know how staunch some of them would be as far as, you know, putting a foot in the ground about that when it comes to vaccines or something or other, but maybe that creates a little rift. But I, you know, if they try to start playing games without fans in the stands, I don't see how they can pull that off. The product is going to suffer. The players are not, like you were saying earlier, you're not going to be able to get up, get that hype. They're really facing some serious issues because of this reopening. And to me, the answer is obvious. Reopen, start playing games just like you did last year. Quit overthinking it.
Well, absolutely. And listen, let's be honest. At the end of the day, this coronavirus, the stay-at-home quarantine, has really put a lot of things in the world in perspective, I think, for a lot of people. What really matters in this world? And, you know, like you said, a lot of these guys are conservative Christians. I'm a Christian myself. And And I believe there's a lot more to this world than just money and getting stuff out there. And, you know, my family is safe. And, you know, I think a lot of people are starting to really see, like you said, the media, how much stock a lot of people put into believing what they hear on the news. But I also think, as a conservative Christian, there's this great awakening that's been talked about in the Bible as well, where I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to the fact that the media may not be on our side. And they're starting to do some own, they're thinking of their own, which is absolutely essential, I think, for the future of our country. People have got to start waking up and start really realizing that the media is not on your side. I don't care who you're listening to. It's all the same nonsense. And at some point, you got to start having that gut feeling that you know there's something wrong. Trust that feeling. I don't listen to the media. I listen to my gut, and if it feels right, I go with it. I feel like there's so many people out there that just, you know, they don't know what to think, so they just listen to the news and think what the news tells them and believes it. It's absolutely insane to me, Owen.
And really, it's kind of a bandwagoner thing, too. You know, it's like, I'm not on a team. You know, I don't know. I haven't had a feeling of victory in so long. The coronavirus things comes along. Oh, my neighbors are putting on masks. Ooh, the media has a flashy right. graphic. And oh, no, there's an invisible enemy. And now I'm putting on a mask and, oh, I'm having a victory now. I'm on the winning team. I'm fighting for, you know, I'm fighting a virus. Yes, I'm a hero. And so they kind of buy into that media hysteria, not realizing that the real victory is separating your mind from the propaganda, being able to separate reality from TV. And I mean, I just can't even believe it. I don't know what it's like in California. Here in Austin, like most people are walking around with masks, driving in their car with a mask. I mean, they probably won't even go, you know, take a dump without a mask.
You know, and what's funny though, is like when I played in 2009 with that swine flu, there was several players that got the swine flu. And all they did was send these guys home. They came back in a week. We continued to play. Nothing shut down. The world didn't go into complete chaos. I just, when you sit back and look, I wasn't even afraid of it then. Because why? The media wasn't sensationalizing. Yep. It's sensationalizing and fear-mongering people. Now, this is, seems to be the agenda. That's why I feel like there's something deeper going on here. This is a perfect, and it just so happens that President Trump is up for re-election in November. And now you have Gavin Newsom trying to keep us home, trying to close the beaches. They're going to try and drag this out all the way to the election just to hurt Donald Trump in the polls and kill the economy. That's my opinion. But I don't think it's opinion. I think it's absolute fact.
Well, and I think it's reached a point now where you can't even have the debate, folks. That all this shutdown is obviously not because of the coronavirus. I mean, maybe at one point it was. And if you even want to say, oh, the models and the people making the projections, they had our best interest in heart. Even if you want to go along with that, it's all been proven wrong. And now this whole shutdown is clearly over something else. If it was over coronavirus, it wouldn't make sense. We'd all have to submit ourselves to an insane asylum. All right. One more segment with Aubrey Huff coming up next. You know, he brought up an important point, actually, that I didn't think of. But yeah, you know, folks, sickness actually spreads in professional locker rooms sometimes. It's very common. They didn't shut down before.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The American way of life
is under attack. This is the War Room.
Share this message right now at band.video.
Aubrey Huff, Off the Cuff podcast coming soon to an internet connection near you. He's already got some in the can. And folks, I know Lenny Dykstra, and he doesn't pull many punches. And so I'm sure that's going to be an entertaining one. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of great stuff coming from Off the Cuff with Aubrey Huff. You know, though, hearing you in the last segment, it reminded me, and the crew found some of the stories here. Mumps Foster's cautious approach is from ESPN in 2014. I just remember over the years, there were all kinds of sickness and flu bugs and all kinds of stuff that went around locker rooms. It was, you know, it happened. And then there were certain things, you know, teams would do. They'd quarantine a guy or they'd cover. Sometimes they'd have vaccinations, but they'd never shut down. Never before. And so, again, to me, that's just more proof that, yeah, this shutdown is something else. It's not about the coronavirus. And you just have to wonder, I mean, if you're, there has to be pressure on this on these professional sports leagues to buckle to this, because like I said, they've been dealing with this. I'm sure you can recall during your playing career times where there was a sickness in the locker room and guys were kind of looking around like, all right, you know, what's going on? Is there something serious I need to think about here?
Well, listen, you know what most of the sicknesses were in the locker room back then? It was the flu-like symptoms, which basically means you're hungover and guys are throwing up all
the old brown bottle flu.
That's pretty much what
I heard. You may have a different problem if you were hanging out with Alyssa Milano the night before, but that we won't get into that.
Oh, yeah, that's we're gonna get a little dark there. Yeah, she's been known to get around the league a little bit from what I've been told, but I was never into that. And that never happened to me.
It must have been tough, I'm sure, the pressure that she would put on the professional ball players. But really, though, I mean, would you imagine that there had to be pressure on these commissioners who have dealt with, you know, outbreaks in locker rooms and such before to shut down? I mean, there had to be pressure applied.
You know, the only experience I've had with it was in the 2009 swine flu, and there wasn't an experience because it wasn't even brought up. Like I said, there was a few guys that had it. We all knew about it as players. These guys went home. They stayed home for a few, you know, maybe a week. They came back and played, and the life went on. But yeah, it's absolutely amazing how just, gosh, you know, 13 years, whatever it was ago, the difference between swine flu and this, how sports organizations are handling this, and I think it's just completely deep stated. You know, media controlled fear mongering for a deeper agenda. And I get this stuff all the time on Twitter. I tweet this stuff all the time, and everybody sends me that little picture of Alex Jones with a tinfoil hat. You know, to me, and I tweeted something about this too. I really believe that I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but I do believe that if you're a Christian, you get these feelings in your gut that it's the Holy Spirit telling you things that aren't right in the world. And I believe that's exactly what's in my gut right now. It's just looking, you know, as a Christian at what's going on in the world biblically and things of that nature, the microchipping and all this, it's all starting to make sense. And, you know, it's just a gut feeling. And a lot of people have it, and a lot of people don't. They just think it's a convenient thing to call us conspiracy theorists because it makes them feel better.
Which really, if you analyze it, it's just people who are doing their own research and trying to form, I mean, call it a theory, but it's just research and then information and data and then having an opinion. I mean, but they want to demonize. They don't want you to have an opinion. Everything has to be conformist. Everything has to be cut. You're not allowed to stray from the mainstream. And I wondered too, I mean, I'm just trying to think about the last figures I saw, but I'm pretty sure right now the swine flu in 2009 is still more deadly and had a bigger outbreak than the coronavirus by the numbers. Again, nobody shut down their business. Nobody canceled sports leagues. None of that. None of that was going on. Social distancing, masking, any of that stuff. So there's all these different elements where you can just compare apples and oranges and just say, hey, here's this, here's this. That's not a conspiracy theory to say, hey, they're approaching the coronavirus different than the swine flu. No, that's the truth.
Well, isn't it interesting how the flu numbers this year have gone down astronomically? Right? Where are all the flu deaths? Why are they down so much? You know, and I think they're, you know, the government funding, you know, for every person that dies of coronavirus, you know, hospitals get government funding. So obviously, if somebody dies of something that may resemble coronavirus, they're going to tag them as such. So these numbers can be skewed. And I truly believe that's what's happening. And, you know, if the hospitals are so overwhelmed and overrun, why on earth are we having to watch these daily TikTok nurse and doctor dancing videos? It's absolutely ridiculous. And I haven't seen one video, not one, of any hospital like a war zone or overrun. And I'm not saying there's not people out there dying of coronavirus. I'm sure there is. And most of them, like, you know, if you do the research, or, you know, people with pre-existing conditions and they're, you know, on the older side of life. But, you know, it's just, it doesn't add up. And if you're any kind of rational, free thinking person, you would start realizing this yourself, that so many people out there are just absolute sheep, Owen, and it's sad to see.
Well, and there's like no critical thinking at all anymore. I mean, even these nurses dancing on TikTok, for whatever reason they're doing it, it's like, all right, we get it. You've got a bunch of free time on your hand to organize a dance routine. Okay, fine. But like, how about the just total disconnect that they're out here getting paid I mean, nurses make decent money. I mean, they're not rich by any means, but hey, they make a fair living. They're out here getting paid while Americans are going broke, and we have to watch them dance and do, you know, coordinated dance routines.
Well, it's not just the nurses and doctors. It's the politicians as well, and it's the media as well. The same people telling us to stay home, shut up, and just mind your own business and do what you're told are the same people still going to their jobs every day and making a lot of money. So the hypocrisy of all this is absolutely nonsense. And I venture to guess, you know, we're about to roll into May. I don't know how much more of this the American people can take. It's almost to the point where, you know, when I read last night where Gavin Newsom was going to shut down beaches in California, it almost wanted me to go up to my room and open up my gun safe. It's getting that close for me even.
Well, I don't know if you realize this. I'm actually really glad you said that because I would have ran out of time. Look, I didn't get into politics to be an armed revolutionary. I really am philosophical, intellectual revolution is what I'd like to see. But I don't know if you know this, Aubrey, but that's why I'm so glad you said this. In Michigan, protesters armed with their rifles have actually penetrated the state Capitol building and are inside right now. And so this is already happening now.
Wow.
Yeah. So again, you're making a prediction as it's actually happening in live time. And I mean, look, Michigan and California are different breeds, but we all bleed red blood at the end of the day. This will happen in California.
Listen, there's a lot more people here conservative than people know. They're just afraid to speak out. It's a lot like professional athletes. You know, if you're going to speak out being conservative, you're going to get lambasted. It's the same way here in Southern California. I have a lot of good friends that are conservative, but, you know, due to their jobs and as liberal as this state is, they're afraid to speak out. So there is a very big silent majority here in Southern California, well, even in California in general. There's a ton of them in San Francisco as Giants fans. I've gotten a lot of them reached out to me after they uninvited me to the 2010 World Series reunion, which ironically enough isn't going to happen anyway.
But, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it's like a little gray lining for you.
A little jab.
It's like, yes, Aubrey's going to miss the World Series reunion. Ah. It's like, oh, it looks like everyone is, which sucks for the guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I had Cody Ross. We had a Cody Ross, one of my teammates from 2010 on to record one of the shows the other night. And we're discussing that. And, you know, we had the Bruce Bochy send off farewell reunion just last year anyway. So all those guys from 2010 got to come back.
So, anyway. Hey, you know what? We got 50 seconds left with you. Tell people where they can find your podcast and what's coming up.
Okay, so my podcast is going to be on all podcast streams, and it's Off the Cuff with Aubrey Huff. And my Instagram is at HuffDaddy76, and my Twitter account is at Aubrey_Huff. That's my edgier content, but my website's there, www.aubreyhuff.com. And the podcast is going to be pretty much what you're hearing here. Strong opinion, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
What do you think? Give us like a tease. Like you mentioned Lenny Dykstra. Any other like just really fun interviews you're expecting?
Yeah, so we got, I got all kinds of athletes coming on. Jeff Garcia is going to come on soon. You know, a lot of MMA fighters, comedians. I think Bill Burr's one of the guys.
Oh, this is going to be good, folks. Yeah. You're not going to want to miss Off the Cuff with Aubrey Huff. Thank you, Aubrey.
Got it, brother.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
That's the theme song for Shrimpzilla, who powers the InfoWars studios. Folks, it's all powered by you, though, at InfoWarsStore.com. Big specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Nascent Iodine X2 back in stock. We do have emergency survival food as well. There is, I mean, the greatest sign maybe ever made in the history of mankind. Life, Liberty, Shrimpzilla. I mean, give that woman a plaque. I want to do a quick news blitz here before I go to the entire Project Veritas clip, and I'll probably end up cutting it short, but this is too important not to cover. Executive order on ordering the selected reserve of the armed forces to active duty just signed, and our best estimate is that it's in response to what's happening in Michigan, where armed protesters have stormed the Capitol building and are inside. Big rallies happening tomorrow, folks, including in Austin, Texas tomorrow. I'll be out there at the Capitol at noon, maybe out again Saturday. And we're seeing the push for what this is really about. Zuckerberg fears reopening will guarantee second outbreak. Fauci saying the same thing. The world embraces contact tracing technology to fight COVID. No, the world is fighting that technology. We don't want it. Internet speech will never go back to normal. Yeah, exactly. Oh, you can't say anything about any viruses now. It's illegal. And then after testing positive for antibodies, Minnesota man thinks he may have had COVID in December. Last time he was sick, as we told you, this virus has been here for a while. Trump administration draws up plans to punish China over coronavirus outbreak. He's really doubling, tripling down on this. Secretary Pompeo hammering Elizabeth Warren on her approach to China. That's nice to see. Politico quietly updates article after claiming Trump currently owes millions to Bank of China. So the real question is, who does owe millions to the Bank of China? That's the real question. And then, you know, look, this is the type of naivete I will never fall victim to, folks. And Tim Pool put this out. If you talk about Tara Reid's accusations against Biden on YouTube, you risk getting deranked and you will get demonetized. It sucks because it's extremely newsworthy, but I get it. No advertisers want to be on content about sexual assault. Come on, Tim. Tim, you're not really that naive, right? Advertisers don't want to have content with sexual assault unless it's Trump and Kavanaugh or a conservative or a Republican. Then they want it all day long. But as soon as it's a Democrat, they don't want it. Come on, Tim. Don't be naive, Tim. Please don't be naive. And then a Rutgers professor says, F each and every Trump supporter. Oh, then there was another professor that said she hopes her students die from coronavirus for daring go outside to toss a pigskin around. All right, folks, but this is bombshell, okay? Project Veritas does it again. Exclusive from Project Veritas. Talking to funeral home directors in New York and New Jersey about the coronavirus. They think something else is going on. We now go to the Project Veritas video to close out today's InfoWars War Room.
You're putting people on that have COVID-19. If they didn't have it, you're making the death rate for New York City a lot higher than it should be.
To be honest with you, all of the death certificates, they're writing COVID on all of the death certificates, whether they had a positive test, whether they didn't. So I think, you know, again, this is my personal opinion. I think, like, the mayor in our city, they're looking for federal funding, and the more they put COVID on a death certificate, the more they can ask for federal funds. So I think it's political.
I had one that was autopsied because he was furious. And I don't know who the Supreme Court justice is, but the Supreme Court justice was related to this family. And he says, I know my sister didn't die of COVID-19. She said she had Alzheimer's and they didn't suction her. You have to suction because they forget how to swallow. And right away they put down COVID-19 on her death certificate, and this Supreme Court justice, whoever it is, contacted the hospital. They did an independent autopsy. Bingo, no COVID-19.
We know there are many unanswered questions during this pandemic. We've been out in the street talking to some folks who are on the front lines, talking to the unsung heroes of the people of New York City, people, for example, in funeral homes. And we've talked to these unsung heroes, and we've discovered some troubling things, some things that should disturb us. This will just be part one of an ongoing investigation into fraud, waste, abuse, corruption, and COVID.
To be honest with you, all of the death certificates, they're writing COVID on all of the death certificates, whether they had a positive test, whether they didn't. So I think, you know, again, this is my personal opinion. I think, like, the mayor in our city, they're looking for federal funding, and the more they put COVID on a death certificate, the more they can ask for federal funds. So I think it's political. So I'm going to turn around and say, you know, like, not everybody that we have here that has COVID on a death certificate died of COVID. Can I prove that? No, but that is my suspicion.
So you think that they're just putting it on everyone who's dying?
They're putting it on everybody's death certificate to make life easier for them, because, like, the causes of death get proved right away. If you write COVID, I mean, listen, they're just pushing things out because they're overwhelmed, and it's just easier to write COVID on everything. That's my opinion.
So this isn't, like, we're not the first case of this happening?
Oh, absolutely not.
How often do you think this has happened?
Quite a lot.
So you've seen, like...
I couldn't give you a number, but quite a lot.
Okay. So you've seen other families at your funeral home?
Absolutely. I've seen people, you know, say COVID in families that somebody never tested. We don't know, and they're right it anyway. Because if, you know what, the law allows them, like, if it's in their medical opinion, it allows them to write it. So they don't even have to prove it.
So do you think that they're doing it to help the mayor, or...?
I think they're doing it to help the mayor. I think the mayor is ordering it from down, because the more deaths that they report from COVID, the more money they can go and ask the federal government for. They put 100 COVIDs. I'm going to tell you all 100 people didn't have COVID. How can I tell you what percentage? No, but I can tell you this is what they're doing.
And they're not even testing these people for COVID.
They're not even testing these people. If the doctor thinks you had COVID, he's allowed to write it down. You asked the question, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm sorry if the answer may not be what you want to hear, but I'll apologize for that. I just, you know, I'm not going to lie to people.
Mike Lanza was not the only funeral director we heard this story from. His observations were shared by many.
All putting COVID on a lot of death certificates because people that are going to their hospital, any kind of respiratory distress, respiratory problems, pneumonia, the flu-like symptoms lead into the COVID-19.
Sure.
So, you know, it's hard for them to put their finger on it.
So just to be safe, or what does it matter? I guess that's my confusion, is if he dies, he's got a heart condition, but they're going
to
say...
For me, all you're doing is you're padding statistics. You know, you're putting people on that have COVID-19. If they didn't have it, you're making the death rate for New York City a lot higher than it should be. A lot of people have been dying at home. Okay? And the problem is, the medical examiner, if you had a private doctor, the medical examiner would speak to the private doctor over the phone, clear it up, bing, bang, it's all done. But now, if you don't have a private doctor, and you aren't on any medical care, they're automatically putting down on the death certificate COVID-19 because they don't want to go, they're so overwhelmed, A, and B, they're not going out to houses anymore. They would go out to the house, they would investigate the scene, they would do some, you know, testing at the scene and then come up with a conclusion as to he had heart disease. But now they're putting everything as COVID-19, so they're padding the numbers that are making it look like, you know, yes, we do have a lot of deaths. I'm not going to say we have been overwhelmed with them. But you start to say how many of them are actually COVID-19, or are the ME just putting it because they don't want to go to the scene?
Okay. Because my sister was,
I had a 40-year-old man that died in his house, okay? They didn't even go to the house. The guy had no underlying causes, no medical conditions. They released him from the house without even going, saying he had COVID-19 because he had a fever. But now, how do you know that's what he had? You don't. But now your death certificate shows he had COVID-19.
The guy that I just buried a little while ago from Long Island National Cemetery. When they called me from the nursing home, I said, did Raymond have COVID-19? He said, well, no, it was failure to thrive, but we're assuming they all have it. And my mom, I used to assume that when I wanted them all in the hospital, she had no answer. I can't answer you, she said. They put down on Raymond's death certificate, he didn't have COVID-19.
Wow. Oh my, who's this woman?
I was at a nursing hospital in Dutchess County.
Wow. And they're just assuming just because